Thanks for listening to Schlereth than Evans On Demand, brought to you by Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. If you're in the market for replacement windows, there's only one place to turn. That's Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. Visit them online at windowsforyourhome.com.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Beautiful morning. On this, I think, Mark Schlereth, this is the official first day of summer? June 21st?
Isn't today
the longest day of the year?
Yeah, we're going backwards from this point forward.
That's right, it's all downhill.
That kind of sucks.
Doesn't it? Knowing that every day after today, it gets a little less lighter every day?
Little less lighter.
Roll that around a little bit.
It gets darker, maybe? I guess it gets a little less lighter.
Yeah.
I guess you're right. You know what? It's always interesting because it's always, like, today is great, and you don't notice it for the first couple of weeks. And you know where we notice it? When we roll into camp and we start going to camp practices and we're there at 5:30 and it's dark or it's still light. By the end of camp, we go in, I think July 28th is the first day of camp. By the end of camp, it's significantly, you know, it's significantly darker, longer while we're doing the show. And you know, I mean, it's visibly noticed from the start of the camp to the end of camp. That you can tell it's 5, 6 minutes, 8 minutes, whatever it is.
Well, so it's
kind of depressing.
It's a beautiful day, beautiful morning today, and we had a nice calm day yesterday, which allowed calm baseball to be played. Although it wasn't calm. Another slugfest. Coors Field baseball at its finest. The Rockies with another 10-8 win. And what do you know, Mark? What do you know? The much maligned bullpen came on last night after Chad Bettis struggled. And went 4 1/3 innings, giving up just 4 hits and no runs. And ready? Brian Shaw actually got the win. Only faced one batter, but he got the win.
That's all he needed. He only needed
the turnaround begins.
Well, you know, here's the thing. It was Russin came in and gave up a hit and walked two. I don't think he got an out.
Nope.
And so then Brian Shaw came in a very leveraged, very high leverage situation and got an out. And I was following on the app. So I'm watching it on my app last night. And, good for him. Good for the Rockies getting a win. But boy, I tell you what, never a dull moment, right? I mean, it's always just stressful. There's just always, everything seems high stress to me.
Well, it's going to be that way though for a while. You don't have this kind of group-wide slump like the bullpen is going through and expect it to just snap of the fingers, miraculously just turn around the next day. I mean, it's got to be a work in progress. It's got to be baby steps. It's going to be two steps forward, one step back type thing.
Yeah, well, you're 100% right on that, and that's where we sit right now. But listen, as long as we're pulling out wins, that's good. And what are they at right now? They're ahead in the series right now?
They've taken two of the first three.
Another one
coming up today.
Right.
They've won two in a row. They're 4.5 games out of first place, but still in fourth place in the NL West. So
today would be a nice win.
Oh, taking three out of four? Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Today would be a nice win.
So the Rockies get a win. Congratulations to an outstanding season for the Avs, Nathan MacKinnon, who had to settle for one of the closest Hart Trophy MVP votes ever, as he finished less than 100 points behind Taylor Hall of the New Jersey Devils. You got to go back to the 2013 awards when Alex Ovechkin edged out Sidney Crosby. But Nathan MacKinnon, who was just absolutely a beast down the stretch for the Avs, had to settle for second. And I know how it's going to work around here, and I get it. You know, fans are fans, and we do tend to have the persecution complex out here when it comes to Denver athletes and getting recognized, and we're a flyover city, and, you know, for a long time that was true. Is this a case of East Coast bias winning out yet again?
I don't know. MacKinnon was great. I mean, MacKinnon was flat out great. I don't know that it's a case of East Coast bias. I'll be honest with you. I don't follow, you know, the Devils enough to know. So, you know.
But when you see a guy from New Jersey edge out a guy from Denver, does it at least, you know, raise the possibility that, you know, you had some people voting who, you know, maybe didn't stay up a lot of nights to see what McKinnon was doing, and maybe just maybe those few votes made the difference in him not winning.
There's always that possibility, and that, I mean, and it's real. You know, I worked at ESPN for a long time,
mm-hmm.
and I mean, do you know how hard it is to actually see an Avalanche game when you live in on the East Coast?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that the bias is real. I mean, make no bones about it. And so yeah, I mean, could that have affected the vote? Absolutely. Absolutely, there are people who are voting. It's another problem. I mean, this is a whole nother Pandora's box of issues. Who we let vote. Like, the people that we let vote, like, and I don't understand it. Like, we'll let writers, and I don't know exactly who votes for that trophy. But, you know, when you're talking about Pro Football Hall of Fame, and, you know, you're letting writers and you're letting people who cover the game vote on stuff that don't have any expertise in breaking down film and actually understanding. Like for me, Jerry Kramer gets in the Hall of Fame this year, and I've been lobbying for years on television for Jerry Kramer. And when you'd say Jerry Kramer, great Green Bay Packer offensive guard from the University of Idaho, people would like, what do you mean he's not in the Hall of Fame? Of course he's in the Hall of Fame. He's Jerry Kramer. No, he wasn't. He just got elected this year, but like that to me is a travesty. And that's a guy that's waited way too long to get in the Hall of Fame. He's in his 80s now. And you look at that situation, you say, because you guys don't really know what you're looking at. And those are things that bother me about voting, but you know, it's always going to be imperfect, Mike.
Well, it's something that, hey, maybe in the long run, maybe it'll be a good thing, you know, cause McKinnon coming this close to winning the MVP, maybe it just makes him a little extra hungrier for next year and what is going to be a huge, huge year for the Avalanche, because this was the breakthrough year, this was the fun year, this was the, hey, nobody saw this coming type year. Now expectations gets ratcheted up, and now it's, hey, don't just make the playoffs and be a tough out in the first round. Now it's, hey, make the playoffs, have home ice, get into the second round, and let's do some real damage. So nice first steps for the Avs and for McKinnon. Now it's, let's go to that next level. What is all this talk about Case Keenum being brought here just to mentor Paxton Lynch? That can't be the story, is it? We'll get to that coming up next. Mark, something took off on these airwaves yesterday that I found myself really confused, really perplexed that this thing seems to be gaining some momentum. And I blame your former teammate, Alfred Williams, by the way, for all this, because he had this to say, this take the other day on why Case Keenum is ultimately here.
What it really feels like to me is that the Broncos brought Case Keenum in here to mentor Paxton Lynch.
Whoa.
That's what it feels like. I'm just being absolutely honest with you. The contract is structured so that at the end of 2 years, Case Keenum walks away, but that's at the same time the Broncos can go ahead and extend Paxton Lynch for 1 year and let him continue on as the quarterback as he's learning how to play the game right now. I mean, honestly, that's what it feels like to me. I think everything is signaling that Paxton Lynch will eventually become the guy.
Really?
Yes. I'm telling you, it just feels that way.
Okay.
Well,
what's your response to that?
My response is, 2 weeks ago, we had Dan Orzlovsky on there, who said, on our program, who said 2 weeks ago essentially the same thing.
Well, here's what he had to say.
John Elway came out after last season and said, I will do everything to fix this situation at the quarterback position. Everything. And I think them signing Case Keenum is going, well, we're not ready to give up on Paxton Lynch, because Case Keenum's a guy that has always had to do the little things. I said he was never the physically gifted guy. He's always had to study really well, understand windows, timing, anticipation, leadership. All those things he's going to be able to give Paxton and help Paxton in his development. And I think that was part of the decision-making here. Yes, they like Case. He's going to be a good player for them. But I also think that they believe he could have really, really positive impact on Paxton Lynch.
And so my thought process there, and when Dan said that on our program, I was like, you know, it actually makes sense in that you can continue. You knew it was going to be a development. There was going to be a development window. Everybody told you there was going to be 2 to 3 years of development. And by rushing him, maybe you retarded that development to a degree. By making him, you know, by putting him in this decision and having him, you know, compete for the job, maybe it was just a rush. And, you know, you did spend a first rounder on him. You did see the physical talent. And there are a lot of things that, you know, all the tangible things are there. The intangibles are not. And if you can get a guy in Case Keenum, because I think you look at this at the end of 2 years, then you have a decision to make. Has Case Keenum played really well? Is he our guy? Do we want to extend him? Do we want to make him long term? Or has his professionalism, has his preparation, as his leadership, has it rubbed off? Has Paxton learned how to play the game? And are we ready to give Paxton an opportunity to take this thing over?
Well, the idea, first of all, the idea of the mentoring, I think that is grossly overrated. The idea that, first of all, that these veteran quarterbacks even want to mentor these young quarterbacks. We just recently saw, as the most recent example, Ben Roethlisberger and Mason Rudolph, Ben reacting with, you know, disdain to the idea that they would draft a quarterback who can't, a player that can't help them this year, and, you know, basically said, yeah, if he has any questions for me, I'll tell him to go look at the playbook. And then, Brett Favre came out recently and said, Aaron Rodgers absolutely understands why I wasn't all touchy-feely with him and trying to help him out. We know that Steve Young and Joe Montana didn't really get along. Tom Brady was friendly with Jimmy Garoppolo off the field, but on the field felt threatened by him. So here's Case Keenum, a guy who has one breakthrough year under his belt, and he's trying to prove it wasn't a fluke, in a new city, trying to learn everything about this offense, trying to mesh with new teammates, and you think he's interested in saying, hey, yo, Paxton, come over here. Get over here, you. Come here. And, you know, hey, here's what I saw. You know, you might want to think about this or that next time. He's not interested in doing that.
Right.
The whole idea of mentoring young quarterbacks from the veteran is wildly overrated.
I think what you're missing, and again, this is just from personal experience of being there, is a guy like Case Keenum got mentored. A guy like Case Keenum got taken under the wing of a Matt Schaub, who's an outstanding just human being. And you want to, I'm telling you, you're not a first rounder. You appreciate, you know, the fight, the struggle. You appreciate that you were a free agent and you've worked your butt off to get to this point. And I'm telling you, you know, it's not like you're a NFL superstar. You know, the thing about all those quarterbacks that you mentioned, Brett Favre was a superstar.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Montana was a superstar. You know, a superstar in the closer to the end than the beginning of their careers, right? So,
but wouldn't they be the most likely to help out since they're so well established and they don't have to worry about job security or anything like that?
You know, success oftentimes has some things that come with it that aren't necessarily great. You know, ego becomes one of them. And the thing about being a free agent or a late round draft choice is I don't think ego, the chip that you carry on your shoulder is far greater than the ego. Now, you know, you mentioned it, Brady, you know, Brady wasn't necessarily, you know, hey, let's study film together. Cordial, friendly and all those things. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's each individual. I always felt like as a player, and you know, I got drafted in the Hogs, and those guys were awesome. Russ Grimm and Joe Jacoby and Jeff Bostic, and you know, they wanted to help me. They wanted me to be a great player. And I always was very appreciative of that. And that's what I carried throughout my career. Plus, I just think you get to the point where you're confident enough, you know, to say, nobody can outplay me. I think that it's each individual. What I know about Case is he's totally on the let me help you out program. And I, you know, maybe that'll change, Mike, but I do believe that guy will help Paxton along. And again, does Paxton accept it? Does he grow? I have no idea, but I think it's a viable theory. You know that Elway wants that first rounder to become a player. He wants to prove everybody wrong and prove himself right. That's what competitors want to do. And he's a great competitor.
Coming up, we got the Morning Brew. Now, normally we don't talk about movie trailers in the Morning Brew, but oh man, one was dropped yesterday that looks awesome. We'll tell you about it coming up next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna eat lightning, and you're gonna crack thunder!
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers, stat!
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues? What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy, this is some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on!
This ball crossed deep right center field, way back.
AT&T Sportsnet there with the highlight, a back-and-forth game at Coors Field, another 10-8 win for the Rockies as they've taken now two out of the first three in this four-game set. And the positive development, look, we're looking for any bit of silver lining we can with this team that's been struggling of late. The much-maligned bullpen came through, picked up a struggling Chad Bettis, went 4 1/3 innings, no runs, only 4 hits. Does this represent a breakthrough? Bright days are ahead?
I don't know about bright days are ahead, but I mean, it was something that needed to happen. And anytime you can have some success, it will help your confidence. And if you can just sit there, you know, like, for instance, if you're Brian Shaw, you had to come in a real pressure situation because Russin walked two guys, gave up a hit. And, you know, you roll in there and you're in a pressure situation. You get an out. When you haven't, I mean, as Troy Rank said, you haven't missed a barrel in a month and you get yourself an out, that's big time. And that can help your confidence. There's no question in my mind that can help your, you can sit back and go, oh my gosh, I threw a 95 mile an hour cutter. It really cut. I finally figured it out. And I figured out my release point. I'm good now. And you can hopefully trick yourself into believing that all that stuff is true. And maybe it is.
Well, what you saw yesterday was both stubbornness and compassion from Bud Black. The stubbornness in continuing to send Brian Shaw out there. I mean, every Rockies fan I've talked to is like, why? Why is he out there? Okay? And you bring him in that situation, like you said, trailing 8-6, in danger of the game getting away. He gets the out. Feels good about himself. Does he come out again in the top of the fifth where maybe it can go wrong? Nope. Musgrave came back out for the top of the sixth. So maybe the idea was, look, hey, you had your moment. You got out of it. That's a nice step forward. Let's let you leave this game with a good feeling.
I think, which is smart. And the other thing is, when you come into a high-pressure situation like that, then you got to sit down and then you got to come back out. It's hard to recreate that kind of adrenaline, so I think that's smart coaching as well.
Next on the Morning Brew.
I feel good. Hopefully, maybe before they announce something, or if they announce me, maybe I'll get a little nervous, but I'm just excited for it.
Well, that's Nathan MacKinnon, who barely missed out to closest MVP Hart Trophy voting in the NHL in 5 years, as he finished second to Taylor Hall of the New Jersey Devils. Their stats were almost identical. MacKinnon, 39 goals, 58 assists for 97 points. Hall, 39 goals, 54 assists for 93 points. But Hall gets the MVP. Do you think MacKinnon got gypped at all in all of this? East Coast bias and the like?
Yeah, I think there's some of that that is involved. I mean, there was nobody better, especially toward the end of the season, the last third of the season, than McKinnon. Was just, I mean, he was must-see television. So, it's too bad. I think he probably deserved it, but, you know, that's the way the voting goes. And there is, I mean, having worked on the East Coast for a lot of years, yes, there is an East Coast bias. It does exist.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Wentzel couldn't pull the trigger. Now Murray, who wants to pull the trigger. Good fake coming in. Matriculation to the hoop.
Altitude TV, the NBA draft is coming up tonight. The Denver Nuggets will be picking 14th. And do you have I'm not asking you to name a particular player, of course, but is there a particular position that you would like to see them address, or is this the best player available? How do you look at this draft?
Well, I like what they have in the backcourt right now. Mm-hmm. I would love to see a three or a four. You know, somebody that's got an ability to stretch, somebody that's got some athleticism. Like, the Joker is a wonderful offensive player. He does a lot of things well. He's not a super dynamic athlete. And when I watch the Nuggets, I don't see, I mean, they're all great athletes. Don't get me wrong, but I don't see that guy that's just an absolute unguardable freak show out there. So I'd love to see them. I'd love to see them get a three or a four that can really, they can play inside, they can stretch, they can hit, they can knock down shots, but is a, you know, that's just an incredible athlete. That's what I would like.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think they could improve their wing play, and a name, and looking at a number of different mocks, a name that has come up a few times with the Nuggets is Miles Bridges, who's one of those tweener types, small forward, power forward, 6'6", 220, went to Michigan State. Mm-hmm. And I like the idea of Michigan State guys. You know, we got one right now in Gary Harris, Draymond Green, Denzel Valentine. You see Tom Izzo, I think, produces pretty good college players that end up being pretty solid pros. So I like the idea if they indeed go that direction.
You go to Michigan State, most guys, and I don't know his story, but most guys, one, you're going to get coached hard by Tom Izzo. He's a great guy, great mentor, great coach. Most guys stay for a while. So you got the maturity factor as well when you come out of Michigan State. I don't know how long he was in school, but that's usually that's usually kind of the way things go at Michigan State.
Sophomore.
Yep. So, that's great with me. I would love to see that.
Well, the thing about it though is that whatever they do, they have to hit on it, because this is a franchise that has told us repeatedly they're a draft and develop franchise. And while they've done a nice job in establishing a core, in order to become a beast in the West, you got to round out your team, and you're not going to do it through free agency. You're going to have to do it through the draft. And over the last couple of years, they've whiffed on Emmanuel Mudiay. They passed on Donovan Mitchell and got nothing from their draft last year. So it's on Tim Connelly to improve what he's done in the draft. You can't just sit back all the time and say, well, we got Jokic in the second round. You got to do more than that if you're the Denver Nuggets. Next on the Morning Brew.
You got everything to lose. This guy's got nothing to lose.
I ain't got a choice.
That's the same thing your father said, and he died right here in my hands. Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
But you don't think I could beat him?
Don't pretend this is about your father.
Oh, I don't know if you saw it, but the trailer for Creed 2 dropped yesterday. And I'm a big Michael B. Jordan fan, back to his days on Friday Night Lights. And this guy has just become a juggernaut. And the first Creed movie really, I think, surprised all of us how good it was. And so the sequel is back. And all you need to know is he fights Drago's son.
What?
Creed's son against Drago's son. Oh. And even better, Drago is in the movie.
He does.
Drago!
You gotta be kidding me. That is, I'm telling one, Creed was great.
It was awesome.
Creed was great. Michael B. Jordan, I'm sorry, but that guy's really handsome.
He is...
He's super handsome.
He is just one of the uber-talented actors that we have right now. Is he
I don't
more,
care about
is
the
he,
talent. I just think he's really
he
handsome.
Is he more handsome than Tom Brady?
Shut your mouth. Shut your mouth.
Is he more handsome than Jimmy Garoppolo?
Listen, like, when you're starting, when you're rating handsomeness, it's like, there's, like, you can't, those guys are just like, all three of those guys, just, they're in a big bowl of handsome.
Big bowl of handsome. Yeah,
right. I mean,
there's your line of the day, folks.
There's no picking it out. It's like, I'll have a bowl of handsome and throw some milk on that, you know?
Can't go wrong, huh?
No. No. So cute. I love all three.
I'm not a first night, opening night, I gotta be there at the movie type guy. I'm always, let it die down for,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. For this one?
You may show up.
Whenever a Rocky movie came out, I was always, I had to see it fast, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
And this one might be, that might be the order of business.
You were that kid that went there, and then for the next 3 days, you worked out really hard.
Yeah.
Maybe drank some raw eggs, and then you were like, ah, screw it.
Came out of the theater shadowboxing, you know,
yeah,
the whole
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, that's great. I'll just put on my Husky pants. I'm fine.
All right, that'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. Well, we all know that Mile High, the original Mile High Stadium was the house that Mark Schlereth built.
Mm.
What do you make of the latest saga in the naming rights for this stadium? We'll get your reaction coming up next. Broncos Stadium at Mile High. Got a ring to it, Mark?
Yeah.
Does it really?
Broncos Stadium at Mile High?
Yeah.
Or are you just like Mile? You just want to go Mile High?
I just
want
to go Mile High. Come on. Why do you need to put Broncos Stadium at that? If you just say Mile High Stadium, everybody knows.
Right.
I mean,
what you got to call it anyhow.
You got to alert people to the idea that it's where the Broncos play?
So, I don't have a problem with it. I guess the issue is, why can't you sell it?
Yeah, what is that? That is mystifying to me. The Broncos usually have their, you know, off the field stuff. They usually have their stuff together, but this is just been weird, hasn't it?
It really has. And the naming rights, if you look up naming rights, they're all over the place, from, you know, from $5 million a year to 8 to 10 to 11 or 12. I mean, they're all over the place, the value of naming rights. And, you know, you're only a couple of years removed from a Super Bowl. It just is interesting to me, like, if you were... See, the naming rights thing to me is more about, like, ego, like hubris, like company ego, like we slapped our name on a stadium, because I don't know what the value, I don't know really what the return on investment is on having your name slapped on a stadium. And part of it is like, hey, if I know I'm going to get X number of Sunday night, Monday night, which used to be, you know, a given that you're going to get, the Broncos are going to play three Monday night games, or at least three or four night games, you know, a couple Sunday nights, a couple of Monday nights. I mean, you were going to be kind of prime time, the only game on television. And maybe then you can justify spending that kind of number, that kind of money on a naming rights deal. But I just don't know. I just don't know in today's environment, in today's climate, when you can get, you know, a bunch of free advertising or next to nothing advertising on Facebook and all these other places that you put it. What's the ROI on an investment deal like that, on a naming rights deal?
I think the answer is actually pretty simple to what's going on. We know that they're going to be doing a massive redevelopment of that whole area around the stadium.
Uh-huh.
And my guess is there's already a company that is going to be a big part of that development that is going to have their name on the stadium as part of that overall development. Because think about it, you know, a lot of these signing deals, they are like 10, 15, 20 year type, you know, contract type things. So I think that this is going hand in hand with the future work, that the future development that's going to be going on around that stadium here over the next several years. So I think that's when you'll see a name go up there.
All right. So like some big developer or some big,
or a big company that's going to be part of that development. Yeah.
All right.
Whether it's a hotel chain or whatever. Restaurant, you know, Chili's Stadium at Mile High.
Stinking good green chili field at Mile High.
Wouldn't that be great?
Could you imagine?
Can you imagine just coming on Sunday Night Football? You're looking live at Stinking Good Green Chili Field.
It's got a ring to it.
Absolutely brilliant.
It has a big time ring to it.
You know?
Okay, so here's the deal.
And then, of course, you always have to shorten it, right?
Right.
It's always shortened. So, you know, hey.
SGGC Field.
You know, hey, I'll see you at the stink.
See you at the stink.
You know?
Oh.
Broncos getting ready to rumble with the Patriots at the stink.
Oh, yeah. See? I love it. Go ahead, Broncos. Draw some stank on them. All right, so here's the deal I can give you.
What are you willing to pony up for that, by the way?
I can't really give you any money. All right?
Uh-huh.
But wait now.
Wait, uh-huh.
I can give you some skin. All right?
Yeah.
So you get some equity in the company. We build this damn thing together. The next thing you know, we sell it to Hormel or whatever for billions of dollars. You'll make more money with your percentage in the company than you would on the naming rights deal.
See, if we had your name on the stadium, the best thing too about it would be the big neon picture of you, sign of you that would be like looming above the stadium. It'd be kind of like Biff Tannen in Back to the Future 2.
Yeah,
you know, on the big casino. It'd be like the big Biff Tannen.
That'd be great. It'd be wouldn't
big
it?
Face, big Mark Schlereth face just looming over the Mile High City. All lit up at night.
Well, I mean, why just leave it at the face though? Why don't we go shirtless?
Oh jeez.
Like the whole upper body. We don't want to put
the shirt off.
We don't want to put the pins in there. The legs are embarrassing.
No, don't put the legs in there.
No. We got to keep the legs
waist up. Waist up, right?
Yeah, and not
eyes up here, folks. Come on now.
Just like the first ab. Like you don't want to go all the way down to where you got the hunk hanging over. Like you don't want to go over the muffin top.
Right.
You want to go to the muffin top
right,
area.
Right. Right.
Just like from the first ab up. Where you got the chichis just resplendent in their all their glory, you know, and the shoulders and the trapezoids. Oh man.
Mark Schlereth, Biff Tannen, no difference whatsoever.
You know what? I can give you some skin.
Yeah.
I can get a little skin in the game.
Okay.
Let's do it, Broncos. By the way,
folks are checking out that Creed 2 trailer and getting rave reviews. Have you looked at it yet? Check it out. I'm telling you. We're going to do a big fan premiere night for that one. I'll be front row center, ready to go.
If he dies.
If I could change, then you could change. And we all can change.
If we all could. That's awesome.
All right, you're going to clear the air.
I am.
Uh-huh.
I am. You know, I want to bring back Al's sound a little bit.
I had a feeling you were going there.
Let's talk about the mentorship of Paxton Lynch and Case Keenum, and is he going to be willing to do that?
All right,
stay off my lawn.
Mark's going to clear the air coming up next.